In the meantime, here's some more Rob Heron of the T-Pad Orchestra and a tune called Rich Man Now, another cracking lyric.
£6 a day. Oh, Tom. Well, Tom used to break his back all day, serving latte after latte. Now that's all gone. He used to be serving up a cappuccino, now he's booked a ticket on a plane to Reno. Working as a full-time waiter, now he's saying, see you later, book you later. He's a rich man now. I'll throw your money on a roulette wheel. No, 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 Tom. He used to be serving up a cappuccino, now he's booked a ticket on a plane to Reno. He used to be working as a full-time waiter, now he's saying, see you later, book you later. He's a rich man now. On a plane to Reno. He used to be a
later, pookie later. He's a rich man now.
He's a rich man now.
He's a rich man.
Rob Heron and the T-Pad Orchestra doing Rich Man Now. What a nice old styly feel it's got to it. But nearly all of the tunes are written by Rob Heron himself. It's all modern music done in impeccably good taste. And now coming up, one of my favourite bits of this show, I think, is a conversation I had with possibly the nicest security man in the world. This is Dr. Rock chatting late on the Monday afternoon. Maybe the Sunday, late on the Sunday afternoon with Anthony Bayless. We chatted with him last year. You can find him on Dr. Rock's podcast page. I might try and post the link up if I remember. When we met Anthony and his lady friend Samantha, they were back there again this year. And, we had several good chats actually before we had this one, but this is the one that got recorded. So I'll see you in 25 minutes or so, folks. But in the meantime, I'll be in the chat box watching you.
There we go. It takes me an extra second to get back up nowadays, but I'm still confused cross-legged.
It's all quieting down now, then. It's amazing how many people went home today.
Yeah, it's that commitment to work and that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It is that monetary system. It does affect a lot of us still, as much as we want to be free. We have to earn money, you know? When you're skint, you're not free, unfortunately. There's a saying, you can only truly be free when you're free of money, but it's very difficult to be that free in this society.
Yeah.
You know, because somebody owns that land, somebody wants it, they put material, monetary thing on everything, so if you try and be not in that system, it's very difficult to say, well, look, no, I believe the land will provide.
Yeah.
And it does. But, you know, you can't just go and live that because you're up against all sorts and all sorts of people and problems, you know. So the monetary system has got a purpose to play, you know. When you got money, them superstores and then whatever, anything you want, the internet you can get. Once you've got that credit card, they'll deliver anything you want through that door, you know. So
it's certainly hard to do without it altogether. I mean, we've managed to reduce hugely the amount of it that we actually need, but you still need some. I'm really grateful that we've got the, you know, because we sort of developed it over the last 3 or 4 years, really, this business of coming and crewing at festivals, so at least it don't cost you too much.
Sure.
But you've still got to, the money still drips out.
Yeah.
You know? This, I don't know about you, but I think this weekend's been an invaluable experience. Really beautiful, I found it.
Well, me personally, when I grew up in Coventry, I found, through the football and whatever, I felt like a family connection with friends. And over the years, all them friends disappeared and went in their own directions. And I came here last year, and God's honest truth, it's the only festival where I could honestly say there's probably 20 people. We can remember your names. There's not many people we can remember their names, but the faces are like family that we've known all our life. And that warm feeling of, so good to see you again, and how good it was to see these people again and remember just those, you know, an hour or half an hour or 5 hours over 4 days with these different people. Amazing.
Yeah.
And it's just,
it's like coming home, isn't it?
It's refreshing, you know, because I think all humanity have certain basic needs, and these basic needs are being ticked here.
Yeah.
Safe environment, most essential. If you don't feel safe, you're going to have mental problems. You know, you can sleep safe, you can wake up safe, your kit's safe. It's just a bit of security around us that we feel relaxed.
Yeah.
And then to have nice food, nice company, nice gestures, warm feeling from friends. To me, that's life. If you can, once you've got all those things, you don't need any more.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need television, you don't need, you know, the guitars and that playing, you know, the spontaneousness of spontaneity of different people playing that music.
It's great, isn't it, the way, because so many of us, nearly everybody here seems to play an instrument, and so there's scratch bands everywhere, everywhere you go.
And
on
there's
the band.
No ego with them. That's what I like about these musicians. It's not the attitude and ego that we associate with musicians, because they're the people that are allowed to play to the masses.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like, we like music, but the people playing it take us away from it, because we don't really like people with attitudes. We like caring, loving people, you know. And yeah, I'm not saying the music, Eva Cassidy, there has been some beautiful, heartfelt artists in the past, but you know, you turn on the radio and it's just full of commercial bollocks, for want of a better word. You know, so to see people that can play, and they're probably a little bit even downtrodden, you know, they deserve to have more confidence than they have, but they haven't, and it's just, they're playing from the heart, and you can feel it, you can sense it, and it's like, electrifying isn't the right word, but it's definitely nourishing, it's definitely reinvigorating or whatever.
I've really been noticing this year the difference between people who are playing live and the CDs that they sell, but the people here, most of them ain't even doing any recording, they only seem to play live.
They're just doing it for fun.
Yeah.
They're doing it, you know, I don't know, actually a lot of the musicians that I've been playing, they've been in a rush, you know, they're having to go from one place to the next, and they're not able to take the time out.
Yeah.
Like, but the impromptu stuff, it's just, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Because, you know, where I come from, you don't even get to see some of these instruments, you know, apart from the telly, and they've got nice instruments, and they're just making their little ensemble, and they're not taking life too serious, but what it resonates is, it changes people, and it helps people, you know, if only other people could realise what is available, you know, and it is a case of, sure, we have to still pay the bills, we can't just drop out. I mean, we're going through a situation now where we're working for a security company, the middleman, who can't replace us. Now, if this was our security contract that we had, we'd find replacements, no problem, and I've found replacements so far for the 2 weekends that I've had off in the last 11. But we have to do it, and it's horrible. You know, it's like, I really want to go to Cardigan tomorrow, but I have to go back to Cheddar. It's not like people having to go back to a factory, you know, and it's like soul destroying. You know, there's millions of men probably in this country who have to go to jobs that they really hate. It's soul destroying to them, but they do it because the love of their wife and the love of the children, you know.
Gotta keep bread on the table.
Yeah, and God love them for doing it, but there has to be if we're more united in what we do, machines produce most of the things we require. You know, we don't need 20 competitors making the same thing. You know, when it's all for the common good, and like you was explaining about trustees and trustworthy people.
Yeah.
You know, there's enough in the stores to feed everyone if they're not greedy. You know, we could all have the best of everything, and we don't have to have the same, because people have different tastes and different flavours. But, you know, if I want a Porsche, it's like, I don't really need a Porsche, and actually I've got a family, so you can use a Porsche if you need to go on a 500 mile. There's a pool that you can use it and utilise it. So we can take away from people that material kind of...
I think a Porsche is quite a good example, really, because you can't actually use one, can you? 70 miles an hour is what they want you to do.
Yeah.
You know? And,
But it's... The only reason people buy it is because it's that status, ego kind of... I've got more money than you. I'm bigger than you.
All the power in the wrong hands, that's what I say.
No, but the thing is, that person who's driving it didn't make it, and you don't know where he made his money. It could be from mass murder and all sorts. So, really, to create something that you've created yourself, yeah, then there is right to be proud of it. And right to be, you know, that's a goal that we want to go for. But the goal we should want to go for is to be in harmony with everybody. You know, and there is still enough space on the planet, you know, and if we do it right, yeah, in a couple of generations, we might have to say, yeah, we can't have more than two children each. But we don't have to have wars and starvation and population control just because we're worried that if we continue with the status quo, it's going to go wrong. We just need a radical, brand new way of thinking that encompasses everybody who's alive today, you know?
It's kind of great to see, because I think that this festival very much embodies that. There's a lot of loving and caring, there's a lot of mutual work going on.
Genuine.
There's no commerce here. Mm-hmm. There's no sort of chip vans and burger vans and all that sort of stuff.
Well, everyone's queuing up for the staff food. So, basically, everyone that's come through the door, 9 out of 10 of them have been treated as musicians. They've been given meal tickets, they've been given drinks tickets. All the stewards, all the security, same thing. Everyone is given meal tickets and drinks tickets. So there is no need for the commercial burger unit, we're going to charge you £2,000 to come on here. You know, I was given the freedom to say to all the local people, the ticket office is closed, please park your car over there, enjoy the night, and if you could, please go to the ticket office tomorrow.
Yeah.
I was given that level of trust, and the people, you could see their faces, it's like, oh, cheers, mate. Yeah. Where you go to another festival, you're 2 minutes late, you got some Nazi Gestapo, get in that car, no, get away, come back 10 o'clock in the morning, and then we're going to get the police and sniffer dogs around your vehicle. And it's like, come on, they've come for relaxation. You know, we don't know if they've been stuck in a traffic jam. Give them a bit of faith, give them a bit of trust.
Yeah.
You know, once that trust is starting to get evaded, yeah, then you have to bring extra precautionary things in place. But I honestly believe if you give people trust, faith and respect, they won't abuse that.
No, they'll tend to give you back, won't they? Most of them anyway, like you say.
They don't let you down.
There's one or two, but I mean, you know.
Yeah, well, if you lose two through the door, right, so it's £80 to get in here for a full weekend, right? So you save £160 in loss, right? But yeah, it costs you like £3,000 in extra security to prevent that.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
just put your faith in the good people. And the bad people, enlighten them, put them on a bit of a guilt trip. So, you know, if they are too poor to afford to pay in the festival, they want to stay behind and do a little picking, contribute.
Yeah.
And you give that people that love and respect, they'll want to do that. You treat people like animals, they'll get what they can, they'll snatch what they can. And that's what society does to people. Treats them like shit, and then it wonders why they behave like it. So, I love this festival. This is the best one. And it is down to that Dolly. She's got the right ethos.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it is the start from the top down. If you've got a good person in control, and she said she's slowly getting the right people in the right places so she doesn't have to worry. It runs itself.
Yeah.
And that's what happens, you know.
And it has very much been like that. I mean, we were last year when we came, we had, I think we had meetings on the Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday morning before the show to sort of sort things out. This time there was only one meeting scheduled and it was for the Thursday morning before we opened on the Friday. And it didn't happen because everybody was busy getting it done.
Yeah, they were
no meeting necessary.
Yeah,
yeah. And The whole run-up to the thing was really relaxed this year. It was. I mean, the food's still been something of an issue because this year they seem to be trying to feed, I don't know whether you know how many people here, but I reckon there's got to be 1,000, 1,200.
That's the figure I've
got. Yeah, so it's sort of twice as big as it was last year. So that's another thing. All the lessons they learned last year and have applied have been kind of overrun.
It's a bigger...
But it can't get any bigger, can it? I mean, this is it, so...
Well, that's it. To have its cosiness. But I think there's something... Like last week, the festival I went to, they'd got 9 lots of different funding, from Costcutter to DEFRA to SureStart, lots of different national organisations and governmental organisations that chipped into this festival.
And where was this one?
It was a place called Tuxford, near Newark, Nottingham, whatever. And it was called Tuxfest. Nice name.
Yeah.
But it was so self-indulgent, people with too many social problems to be running a festival. And 10 people there on the Friday night. Free festival, 10 people there. On a village green, right in the middle.
Yeah.
This is in the middle of nowhere, hard to find, 80 quid.
Yeah. The bands and the people really, really want to be here. They want to be with each other. I've been non-stop, more or less, since the moment it opened, finding really, really exceptional people to talk to and have another pint with. And it's been non-stop. Friday night, I looked up and it had got light. It's just been kept that well entertained, just by the human-to-human contact.
Yeah, and it is like that, and it is so relaxing and refreshing and re-energising and revigorating.
Yeah.
Just seeing those good people that... It's just like a genuine smile. And I must confess, there was a few people, I don't know what they'd taken, but there was up all night, you know, it's their party once a year, and people do it, and there's been a lot of excessive kind of alcohol and things. But I've seen it before 5 o'clock in the morning, people are dribbling and all. I walked back through the campsite, just to make sure Samantha was all right. And there was a Liverpool guy, and you could see he was kind of partying hard at 4 o'clock, you know, dancing, yeah, like really crazy. 5 o'clock he was there in his chair, doing his bacon sandwich, like king of the castle, and it's like, you ain't munted, mate, you ain't a casualty.
Yeah.
You've partied all night. And you're ready to have a sophisticated breakfast. If someone walked along, you'd have thought he'd been sleeping all night.
Yeah.
And he hadn't. He'd been partying all night.
Yeah.
And he still had enough energy the next morning
On the Friday night, loads of people were awake all night just because of the company and what was going down. Seems to me that I haven't seen anybody lurching about, actually.
Well, I'm a lazy git. I'll be honest. I love my sleep. I did the 12-hour. I did midnight till midday today. And, like, I didn't think I'm not going to sleep. You know, the only reason I would have gone to sleep is if I'd have been back on at midnight tonight.
Yeah.
To insist, you know.
But your work here is done.
My work's done. Yeah. I don't feel shattered at all. Yeah. I feel invigorated.
Yeah. I've watched the rest of you, because, you know, I've had a bit of a head-to-head with one of the other...
Yeah, yeah.
One or two of the others, you know, and... which story I will explain, but in the end, me and Paul, because, you know, we have this bit of arguments about the laser pen that was being used by the... there's a guy with a telescope who's pointing to stars, right? And we can tell when there's fighters flying around the place, because you do hear them, right? And he was having a go because it was dangerous. He said, it's not illegal. Well, it is illegal, but he said, but I can't take it off you. And I'm just like... And I was going, well, who's causing more harm, loss and damage? You know, the man in the fighter who's over in Afghanistan doing this, or the bloke who's pointing to Saturn so that you can see what you're looking at through the telescope. But what I didn't know was that Paul's been in Afghanistan.
Sure.
Which means that his
association of that
completely different. Mm-hmm. And he straight away he said, well, you know, I'm not really interested in the politics of the matter, and I'm just ending the conversation there. And I thought that's a bit unreasonable. You know, and then later on in the evening I saw him again in the bar and we had a good chat. And of course we were like flint on flint together, not so much chalk and cheese, each other. But we had, as a result of that, we ended up having a really fantastic conversation and recognising that we're kind of, disagree on 99 things out of 100, but we're still getting on outside the bar having a chat.
Yeah, and
So, you know, it's not like everybody who's coming here is automatically going to see eye to eye. It's just that everybody's opening up.
And people are coming from totally different... I mean, here, there's a lot of like-minded people. But in the real world, we're all coming from lots of different perspectives and different upbringings and different life experiences. And that has been one of my biggest problems with the alternative movement. I was talking about it today, that a lot of the anti-fascist movement have become very fascist in their beliefs and the way they do it, because it's like, no, this is wrong, this is wrong. It's like, no, they're from a different... If I was from that, I'd believe the same.
Yeah.
And we have to accept that and understand that, you know, and then the barriers are broke and the differences, you know, we are going to come from different perspectives, but only by breaking them barriers and say, no, he's still my brother, even though he was rude to me, or even though he hadn't a clue, or even though he was narrow-minded, he's still my brother,
yeah.
You know, and when I'm able to get through to that, I might be able to change his perspective, and who knows, he might change my perspective.
Yeah.
You know, and to me, that's what life's about.
Yeah.
Not about, oh God, look at this stadium, oh fuck, don't stay, not yeah. Stay away. And we all do it, unfortunately, because we've only got so much time in life. You know, we are all conditioned to judge a book by its cover, and it's like, oh no, forget that, I'm not speaking to him. Yeah. But when we do take the time,
yeah.
And I mean, like you say, you are like chalk and cheese to look at, you know, he looks like a fascist, strong kind
of... Yeah, and he's been in Afghanistan war zones.
So he has got some kudos to have that kind of...
Yeah, yeah.
And he is, honestly, I worked with two close protection guys last week who were so narrow-minded and idiotic, right, and fucking, they would have caused a riot.
Crash test zombies.
Well, it's just like, no smoking, bad, everything, Red Bull poison.
Yeah.
And it's like, lads, you're in someone else's living room, there's 300 of them, there's two of yous and me. If we cannot get on with them, you know, one of them had his own martial arts school, and he was like, oh, they're pissing me off now, they're pissing me off. I said, how many of these could you take out then? If it does kick off, you know, because I'm telling you, I can only use my mouth. I'm not a very good boxer. When it comes to fighting, I'm snookered. I'm good with, like, loud voice and pretending to... I can roll my eyes and pretend to be a psycho, but if it actually kicks off, I'm sorry, I'm not much good. You know, and he said, yeah, well, you know, I get it. You know, we better change your attitude then. You know, you got to be humble to these. You're coming into their area,
yeah.
And you can't just come and confiscate their bottles off them. I understand the health and safety risk, but show that person a bit of respect. Excuse me, mate. The Environmental Health said we can't get another license if we don't get rid of all the bottles. I can see you're sensible. Please hide it. They'll give you the utmost respect for saying, I can see you, I'm trusting you, even though there's a law, I'm going to give you the benefit of the doubt, because you're giving them respect, and they'll give you the respect
and
back.
And you're teaching them to respect the glass, which is what you want.
You're putting the law down.
You want people to be careful with it, don't you? You don't necessarily want them not to have it. You were telling us that in some places you've been, they make people, just so they take in plastic and they pour a whole bottle of whiskey into
it. Oh, I've seen it! Proper idiotic, you know, just Jobsworth. You know, rules, these are the rules and this is how we do it. Yeah.
So you get
what's worse? You drink a 70 litre bottle of whiskey because it's in a paper cup in about 20 minutes rather than throughout the night. Do you need me to come back for a... Cool. So I should really go and meet your entertainment.
That's brilliant. Bring her to the bar and we'll have a chat.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah. And
bring around some nice people who are going to
These are the people. Yeah. These are the people,
yeah.
Jess and...
Yeah, it's Jess.
Hello.
Well, shall I go and get her and we'll have a...
Well, she'll go and meet in the bar, yeah.
Yeah,
really great. Thank you very much for that. And thanks, Anthony, for coming and talking
to us. No, and I'm sorry it was so brief but the thing is...
It's the quality of your voice, mate. You know, like I say, I described you in the bar the other night as the only security man I've ever loved. And I reckon you said plenty to show people why that's the case. You know, if we had a nation full of security guys and policemen and peacekeepers like you,
They are getting more, and we have to say it, you know, it's true. I mean, my perception of the police of 30 years ago were just like pure meatheads and beat you up. I have...
Mind you, you were taunting them something rotten, I'm sure.
It was more them taunting us, you know, and I believe there was a national interest. You know, what's going on today with this English Defence League, that was a kind of a national policy they knew was going to... Because these people in power, they see things 30, 40... Well, here, smoke this, bro. 30, 40 years ahead. And, I think that they realised that society was disempowering people. And that disempowerment, they knew that through the football matches, there was a bit of camaraderie, that kind of strength and unity.
They're tribal.
Yeah. And there is something in that. And I think that was just a prelude to what they're doing now with English Defence. Because it is all the old football hooligans that are getting involved with it. So they want strong...
They sort of chased them out of football and they're now...
The thing is, the government, I believe, are too frightened to take on religion because of what's happening with Christianity. They can't... They're too scared to take on Islam because of the big log of fucking paedophilia in Roman Catholic.
That's right, yeah. Take the splinter out of your eye when you've got a log in your own.
Yeah. Take that one out first. And I believe that... They needed a stronger, powerful English defence. And so the football hooligans and, you know, all this, what they've done in the past, is a prelude to what's happening now. But I've learned about this Illuminati stuff and all that, New World Order. There is certain reason, you know, on the surface it's like it does come across evil. Yeah. But there is a cause and effect that... Unless they interfere with it, you know it is going to go tits up. You know, that one person beheading someone could be a whole town, you know?
Yeah.
We need to nip this shit in the bud, you know? And if we haven't got strong English moralistic people... Because I'm not being aerialistic, but there's a lot of tradition and beauty in England.
Yeah.
In Englishness, and it's not a bad colour, because I honestly believe that some of the Sikhs are more English than the English now, you know, with...
Yeah. They're amazing people, actually, to talk to. We've had some really great Sikhs.
Yeah, they're family-orientated, mum's ahead of the household, well, great-granddad's ahead of the household, and then it comes down to granddad, then to grandma, then to dad, and then the kids.
Yeah.
And to me, it's beautiful. But to me, England has that kind of same tradition, family tradition, looking out for your neighbours, being inventors.
Yeah, and it's still out there, isn't it, that attitude?
It's in our genes, it is. But, you know, we've been made to feel ashamed through the bombs and the destruction and the bollocks that's been happening in the last 200 years, you know, and it's...
Yeah.
I'm going to go and see Samantha.
Yeah, well, look, that's absolutely brilliant, mate, that is. It'll probably be going out this Thursday. We'll be up as a podcast.
Okay, bro, and I'm sorry for anyone out there on what we call World Radio now.
We're now calling it International Media, MSI, Media Streaming International.
Anyone that listens to Media Streaming International, I'd like to big up Dr. Rock, because, you know, he is an inspiration, and what he does just by walking around the site, you know, it is beyond words. But him and his good lady Jessica, they change people's auras, just their very nature, just by walking around. And obviously on a radio station you can't understand beyond words, because that's all you can hear is the words. But yeah, if you can join Dr. Rock's gatherings, wherever they may be, please come along, because I can't describe it. It is beyond words, but it's beautiful, it's empowering, it's invigorating, and long may it continue.
Thank you very much, Anthony. That's brilliant. Here we go, the Mutual Admiration Society, because we're a good team. And hey, we'll have to try and meet up sort of...
Long may it continue.
Sometime before the next Fire in the Mountain.
Well, you bring in the masses and I'll just keep them happy, as in...
If I ever generate anything that needs some security, you're the only security I want, mate.
Thank you, bro. That's all we need.
Yeah. To the bar. And Samantha.
Here we go, find Samantha. Yeah. This is Media Streaming International Radio. Pass me the needle and thread, my friend. I could do with mending old clothes, strengthen with patches and stitches of twine. It's been long since I tended to the tears left behind. It's been long since I tended the tears. Well, I've never been one for a thimble. A pricked finger tells me I'm alive, as the blood trickles slowly down my thumb. It's these old clothes I'm going to revive, my son. It's these old clothes I'm going to revive. But you'll suffer in person, this I fear, though you were never as torn as I. Write down the seams and thread that you're making. Maybe they may be of softer cloth, prone to holes. Maybe I'm all softer cloth. Dress just for you out of need. A wild fashion dress just for you. But you'll suffer it worse than this, I fear. Oh, you are never as torn as I. Write down the seams and thread that you're making. Maybe they may be all softer. Prone to holes. Maybe I'm all soft to close. They made me of stronger cloth. I could put my needle away.
Softer cloth there from Kidnap Alice, who are, of course, in tour, on tour in Ireland for the next week or so. Kidnapalice.co.uk if you fancy going and having a look at that. And what about Anthony, eh? He's just such an amazing bloke to spend a bit of time with. So, it's actually quite refreshing in any human, let alone a security man, really. And I think he made several points that I'd just like to highlight, really. His comments on the attitudes of the musicians at Fire in the Mountain. It's like a place they felt at home as well. And there's no kind of bigging up at all, really. And yet you never know when the bloke standing next to you is going to pick up a banjo and just be utterly blinding with it. As he said, they're a really self-deprecating lot. They're playing from the heart. And I think the words he used, electrifying and nourishing, really summed up so much of the music and also the people who weren't playing the music. Electrifying and nourishing is a good way of describing the festival as a whole. As he said, the crew bands, Santa Mozzarella, Ed Hicks's people, and Kidnap Alice, they were various of them working really hard in several places sometimes for more than one band. And by the end of it, they really looked pretty shagged when you saw them off stage, but they kept turning up and putting in another really brilliant performance with somebody else. The problem that people have got to go home on the Sunday, because they need to go and earn themselves some washers or meaningless promissory tokens or gaming tokens or whatever we want to call them, is a thing which I'm sure we're going to be dealing with pretty soon, because pretty soon it's going to disappear and we're going to have to do something else. Certainly at this end of the system, the money is disappearing incredibly fast. There's much, much less of it than there used to be, and it's necessary to be constantly trimming the cloth, as it were. The Fire in the Mountain Festival is £80 on the door, which sounds like quite a lot of money until you think about what you're going to get for that. It doesn't go very far nowadays. It's not many pints of beer for £80. And if you buy an early bird ticket, it was £60. And yet people really don't buy the tickets until they know the sun's going to come out, and I can't really say I blame them for that. So, you know, you can find yourself approaching the festival being maybe 2 or 3 weeks away from it and expecting 200 or 300 people, because that's what you've sold, and then suddenly you find yourself with 1,000 or so. And I know that the crew itself was augmented with extra volunteers on the last day, because many of the volunteers themselves were pretty shattered, and that is also always really helpful. I think it's a good thing perhaps to try and plan into events, is to get a small crew of enthusiastic people to come in on the Monday morning to plug some of the gaps that inevitably start arising. Anthony's comment that we need a radical new way of thinking that encompasses everyone alive. Well, what a fantastic summary that is of what we actually need. And then he said that yet society treats people like shit and is surprised when they behave like shit. And that's like, it's almost like two ends of a ruler. But this idea of a radical brand new way of thinking that encompasses everyone alive is down to us, folks. Encompassing everyone alive is up to the behaviour of individuals, because, as I've said a few times actually in the last few weeks, every time we ignore stuff happening to others that we wouldn't tolerate for ourselves, we are to some extent evading the idea of a brand new way of thinking and encompassing everyone. And we're enhancing the view that there are at least some people out there who perhaps deserve to be treated like shit. And like Anthony said, you know, in a way, it's the people from whom we feel repulsed that it's perhaps most important for us to talk. And it's just the way life goes that I had a bit of fun with Paul, the security man, about the laser, and the man with the telescope, who I haven't mentioned actually. Chu, his name was. I've got his website address here. I think it's called Travelling Telescope. And he had a telescope, and every night he had it up for people to look at. He had it up during the day so that we could see sunspots too. And the thing he was pretty most enthusiastic about showing us was Saturn, because Saturn was up all night whilst we were at the festival, so presumably it is at this time. And you could see a really perfect little Saturn in the telescope, complete with its rings and everything. And apparently the rings are only 10 metres wide, 10 metres thick. So that's an amazing thing to be able to see from Earth. But the business with the laser pointer and it not being shot into the night sky in case it blinded a fighter pilot or something, I did find bizarre. But as you heard there, I ended up in the bar a couple of times really with Paul having a good old chat. And that was for me, an object lesson in what Anthony was talking about before I'd actually heard what Anthony was going to say. I really like that. Life works out like that quite a lot now. And it also means that, again, I got a chance to soften some of my harder edges, because it doesn't matter how hard you try to keep everything shiny side up. Every now and then you come across somebody who makes your hair prickle, and it's only because there's a kind of failure in understanding, a failure in identification, a failure to realise that the other individual has an entirely, but entirely different life experience, and so is going to be an expression of entirely different ideas. And as Anthony, I think, effectively implied, those are exactly the people. If we wish to synthesise the light and shadow within ourselves, then this is one of the best ways of doing it, to synthesise the light and shadow without. As I said, he spoke about the meal tickets and stuff. He's, in fact, everybody who was volunteering, the security, the bands, the people who were picking up the litter, the people who were running the stalls that were selling the food, you know, everybody got, for each shift they did, they got a meal ticket and a beer token, a drinks token. And they got, because we could get £3.50's worth of beer with one of these things, these tokens actually ended up being worth about that. So you could exchange it for £3.50's worth of whichever stall it was that you were using it at. And it does mean that they were giving away, you know, 200 meals and 200 pints or whatever a day for the duration of the thing, which doesn't seem much when you look at it as an individual thing. But when you look at it as the kind of the bigger picture, like the eagle looking at it from above, you can see that that's quite a tremendous cost on the festival. But everybody was eating from the same outlets. We had the Moringa Cafe, we had the pizzas, and we had the stone kitchen, the barn building, which had become a kitchen. And they absolutely massively rose to the task that was set for them. That's where the biggest problem comes. If you're only selling 300 tickets in advance and getting 1,000 people, is one thing is, well, how do you feed them? And the other thing is, what do you do with the resulting mess? And they did, on the hoof, they sorted it out. At one stage, they got 1,100 sausages in, and I think they were gone in just a little bit over 24 hours. As much food as could be cooked was going out of the door as soon as it had been cooked. And the people afterwards were still cheerful, the people from the kitchen. They were already talking about next year's show and how it was that things could be improved. And again, some of the volunteers in the kitchen were young and fresh on the scene, and were, I think, an incredible lift to the rest of the team. It was necessary for Dolly on the final night to actually appeal to the audience itself to come and volunteer in the kitchen, because otherwise some people weren't going to get fed. And I think that was sorted, because I'm aware that everybody did get fed. So that in itself, without all the other work that was done for the festival, was a real achievement. And a bit like everything else, because you must have got some idea of what it was I was experiencing when I was there now. A bit like everything else, it is it's a real demonstration of what human beings can do when they're together and when they're operating from the heart. I think I only saw one unhappy man when I was there, and it was on the day that he was leaving, and his lift wanted to leave before he'd got his tent together and stuff. He'd obviously had one of those laid-back nights. And the response to his distress and the frustration and anger that he was expressing was, two or three people straight away turned up and helped him to do what needed to be done to get him into his lift. Wouldn't have thought it was extraordinary, would you? But really, in all the festivals I've been to, that was such a beautiful and human response. And for me, it really exemplified the feeling of the place as a whole. And I think in terms of, you know, people's behaviour, it's good to remember that there was, we worked our way through 1,500 pints of cider and almost 4,000 pints of beer over the 3 days. And there was some sort of domestically output ginger beer. There was some mead and there were some shots. And, although there, according to Anthony, there were people weaving around, there wasn't an ounce of trouble. And of course, last time we spoke to Anthony, he pointed out that he thinks that's because there's no lager at the bar, because he reckons, and I think there's some truth in it, he reckons that, they put the violence in the lager, like More glowing praise for the beautiful Donny May, of course, and I don't think you'd have heard anything from anybody else. And in fact, I think everybody I spoke to and everybody I saw, I think would pretty much agree with my opinion that what we got to experience when we were at the Fire in the Mountain was just exactly how we might be living if we could start acting as Anthony says, as one, and start thinking of methods to encompass everyone alive and to take them on board and to break down the barriers that apparently exist between us. And a great part of that was the core members of the crew, who they are, the individuals that they are, the responsibilities that they took on, and the empowerment they were given to sort out their own area of operations without being distracted by other people's. They absolutely did make every single little node of the festival great. I really have no complaints. You know, even the waste removal, say, it was managed by Aberystwyth Recycling. They seemed to do a great job at furkling through it all. We had a load of portaloos for people who don't like composting toilets. And they're really expensive, you know, portaloos, really pricey to hire, really pricey to have them emptied. And I personally think they're really, really unpleasant things compared with a nice deep pit with the composting, or, you know, an earth closet on top of it. And as it is, the portaloos presented a bit of a challenge to the people who couldn't use the composting loos, but the composting loos stayed absolutely, totally serviceable for the entire festival and would have remained serviceable, as far as I can see, for a fair few days thereafter. So, to those of you who feel addicted to portaloos, I really do recommend the other option, as it were. The festival was, I think, about as big as it was going to get this year. You know, they've got a license, I think, for 1,000-odd people. I think there was talk of taking it up to 2,000. And I think, you know, it's easy to ride high on the 7 sunny days that we got in total, putting it up, taking it down and enjoying it. But it's important to remember that the weather does change. The sun is responsible for bringing a lot of people out. And in my experience, when things get bigger, they change, you know, and what I'd love to see is things that I know there's, John Langland was talking to me about, John Langan, not Langland. He was talking to me about a festival up in Scotland, whose name I can't remember. It was called something like Knockin' Gorick, and it's been going for 20 years because the size of land that it's on is restrained, so only so many people can get on it. And I think that trying to keep something the same size, maybe a little bit bigger if you feel can deal with it, but trying to keep it the same size and upping the quality and encouraging people that way to get their tickets in advance, because that way the people get their tickets a lot cheaper, you know who's coming, and you know how many bloody sausages you're going to need. I think they actually slaughtered a pig, especially for the fest as well, so a lot of the meat that was eaten by the meat eaters had actually been raised on the farm and freshly sorted, as it were. And I really liked, I saw Anthony on the gate, saying to people late at night, just doing exactly what he described there, saying, go and park your car over there, come in and have a good time, and if you would come and sort it out at the box office tomorrow, then that'd be absolutely great. And I know there's a special dispensation kind of made for local people in that sense, because we are in their environment. We're making a bit of noise, though not a lot of noise. Another thing about these festivals is that you don't get the booming bass beats that you get from elsewhere. So it's a lot kinder on the local environment, and perhaps a lot more locals will want to come as a result. I had quite an interesting discussion with Anthony that we didn't get on tape about the fact that the people who are anti-Nazi are getting more Nazi than the Nazis. And I know this is a discussion that's happened occasionally in the MSI chat room as well. And I love the way that Anthony puts a positive slant on everything. He's working away at all of these ideas, and even had a brief crack at the end there, although, as you can tell, we were interrupted and needed to go elsewhere. He was even trying to put across his view of the Illuminati, and I can see where he's coming from. He says that there's a cause and effect. We've had a lot of very interesting shows about the Illuminati, especially about the Committee of 300 and the ruling families and all of that, and how deleterious their effects are on humanity as a whole across the planet as the Crown Corporation imposes its will on others. but nobody can really know what the effects are going to be of whatever cause it is we're putting forward. Things that have served for a very long time suddenly can cease to serve at all effectively in a moment. And as I'm again frequently saying, many of us would probably not be doing any of the work that we're doing or meeting any of the people that we're meeting as a result of the work if it were not for the actions of the black t-shirts, as it were. They're kind of forcing change. They're putting everything under pressure, and under pressure is where humans work best, it would appear. And it's where our DNA and our energy bodies and our minds are most likely to re-express themselves. So although we didn't manage to get in any depth into Anthony's stuff on that, there's another whole conversation that could be had really there between us and, I've no doubt, a few other people. And I also really loved his reminder of the fact that there's a lot of tradition and beauty in the English culture, something which is being subsumed as rapidly as all other cultures are. And I think, again, to a great extent, several of the things that we saw at the Fire of the Mountain Festival were an expression of real human culture. And it was, near as damn it, I think, all from Albion. I really loved some of the special Welsh bits, which we haven't been able to play tonight. And as I say, especially enjoyed John Langan and his Scottish singing, actually singing as a Scottish person. It was really great. As for Mr. Bayliss's praise for Dr. Rock and Jess and the effect we have on people as we wander around the place, I think that's as much due to the people we're meeting as it is to ourselves, because just like everybody else, it can be very difficult for us to deal with some people. But having said that, one of the things that I really felt about this festival, because I was very comfortable there, very happy, I really genuinely loved almost immediately all of the people I was meeting, and nearly all of them had new things to tell me. It made it a great place for me to operate. And I must also say that the reason, to a certain extent, that I seem to be able to do that, and especially when I'm out there with Jess or Synchro, is because of the experience of the last 2 years that I've had working first for TNS Radio and now for MSI Radio. It's itself brought me into contact with a lot of people that you have to think very hard about what's being said and the amazing stuff that's coming across to you. And the work that goes into putting these shows together has added hugely to my ability, I guess, to talk freely and in a friendly way with all manner of different people. So, you know, it's all part of the same thing. The people in the chat box, all the feedback I get from them, the conversations I've seen in there, all the other hosts I listen to when I get the chance, the music that's played here, the other festivals I've been to, all of it makes it easier, just makes it easier to get on with other people and, as Anthony says, to break down the borders. Having said that, I've got sudden and extensive access to Skype now that I have a Skype phone, and it means I've been able to keep a closer eye on the various chat boxes that I'm in there, as it were. And as you'll have noticed from this particular show and from many shows before it, I'm pretty keen on camping and beer drinking. It's something I really enjoy doing. Camping and beer drinking and meeting people is, as far as I'm concerned, what it's about. It's what I do all the time if I got half a chance. And I found myself recommending it in one of my Skype chat boxes late last night, kind of, it was gone midnight, and here we're going to camping and a beer in. And somebody said, if that's your only reason for coming, you needn't come. And then they put twat, they actually put that in there. And I thought, fortunately, over the last few weeks, I've been talking about the fact that you can't understand. Because if it's just text on a screen or text on a piece of paper, all you've got is these little shapes that just give you a vague idea of what's going on. And I know some people can be pretty brutal with their humour, you know. So I just sort of, shit, it would make a lot of difference to me. Man might well have got out of the wrong side of the bed, or he might have actually been having a crack, which just didn't look like a crack when it was written down. But when I got up this morning, it just goes to show that it's really easy to create another impression for a start off. You know, that's very different from Anthony Bayless's response to me, for example. But when I got up this morning, I went and had a look at the chat box to see what had happened in there. And there was a whole load of my mates on there, basically being extremely supportive. And I know some of you are out there listening tonight. So thank you very much for that. It was a most enlightening experience. But on that note, that was a bit of a build-up, really, a bit of a subtle DJ-type build-up to the last track I want to play tonight from Heal the Last Stand. And it's a track called Smile, and I guess, if anything, it's my message to people who are out there on the internet calling other people twats. There's nothing wrong with them, but hey, here's another solution to whatever it is that's rocking your boat. Smile. That's Heal the Last Stand, recorded live at St. Giles Parish Church from their latest EP, and it's just called Smile. And it's I guess if we don't take anything else away from it, that's as good a message as any. They of course played at Al's World at the party, but I didn't get any recordings of that. In the meantime, I'm going to play now last of Rob Heron and the Teapad Orchestra for the night, and it's a song called She Don't Like Fish. She's a lady called Lucy, and she don't like fish in all sorts of ways. Don't forget, Kidnap Alice and Rob Heron and the Teapad Orchestra are touring Ireland over the next week, so chance to go out and see. Like I say, all of this stuff's much, much better in the flesh, in my experience. Here we go then, more Rob Heron.
knocked upon her door, telling how they've been caught in packets before. She's £5 a packet, a ten for a case. So Lucy slams the door upon his face. Lucy don't like the fish. Lucy don't like the fish. Lucy don't like that fish at all. Lucy don't like the fish. Lucy don't like the fish. Lucy don't like that fish at all.
Sound. I guess I must be getting old or something, because it used to be simply a hard rock speedhead, and I guess I must be mellowing in my old age or something. But coming into the last half hour of the show now, this is of course Dr. Rock's radio show on MSIradio.com and scotlandisfree.ning.com. I think we've got just two or three more pictures to come up in the slideshow at the MSI chat box. I've got no idea where I was last time I went that. Here we go. Yeah, it looks like we're looking at Santa Mozzarella. My goodness, that seems like a while ago now. Next slideshow is called Chimaster and Sound System, and this was another feature of the place, was loads of little let's drag it around 12-volt sound systems, some of which did other jobs as well. Like these guys, they made just the most amazing chai. They had some really ancient grinder they were using, and again, I think a bit like the people on the coffee stall, they made sure that they used plenty of the various things they put in there, because it was a really refreshing, spicy, uplifting cuppa. But I also really like the idea of the mobile sound system, because I've had a go with a couple of live audiences recently, and it does seem that they're willing to dance to tunes that they've never heard before if you play them the right tunes. So I had a degree of success there. But it, of course, it's, if you just turn it up, it's actually a bit brave and difficult to take any, and I don't think there were any DJs at this anyway, but, having something that you could just roll into the bar when everything else is shut down, as happened one night with these guys who had a pram. They had a pram, and it was all full of flashing lights and, little bits of instrumentation and stuff. And it had the 12 volt battery in the sound system and a load of tunes on it. And they rolled it into the bar when everything else had stopped. They sort of put it on a table, and they turned it on, and the people danced until breakfast time, really. So I really fancy building myself one of those, quite fancy a little radio controlled K9 or something. We'll have to see what we can do if I find myself a few minutes. But the most bizarre sound system turns up in the next picture. As I say, I hadn't got the hang of the flash. What this is called Dark Bar and the Volvo sound system. It's quite amazing when you think about it, that having put on this whole festival, when we got to the crew night, we had to get a bit more beer in because we'd drunk it all. And apparently the most apposite and available sound system was a Volvo. So they backwards it into the bar, turned its hazard warning lights on, and it banged out loads and loads of really kicking tunes once again until the early hours of the morning. It also became a dance floor. There was a couple of people doing the most amazing dancing on the roof. So, that's definitely got to get a sound system of the gig. That has a decent use for a Volvo. That's what I say. And then there's Monday Sunset, because this was running into the crew night. We were still busy taking things down. It'd been a beautiful day for striking, and that makes life a lot easier. Many, many things had disappeared. Owl's World was down. All the yurts had been put away and driven off the site, and it all came apart remarkably easily. And we had a fantastic sun-gazing sunset, and in fact I got to watch it twice, because I watched it from down the hill a little bit by the healing area, and I saw it set, and then as I walked up the path it rose again, which was really great. So I got to sun gaze a couple of times on that one. Very beautiful evening indeed. And once again on the Monday night, just like on the Friday night, I ended up, it was especially Paul of Sound, who's in the MSI chat box tonight, and a lady that was with him, Jolene. I had a good long chat with them about all manner of things, and they're hopefully going to supply us with many, many more tunes from Fire in the Mountain, which we'll be able to play over the months to come in the run-up to what I'm sure will be another kicking festival next year. But one way or the other, once again, I moved myself from individual to individual as I went sort of in the bar and over to the main fire and over to the pizza place that was still turning out bits of pizza. And eventually down to the Bardic fire pit, and by then once again it had actually got light, and the last picture is of the Bardic fire pit where I ended up being the last one really. There was I couldn't see anybody else awake in the camping field. Many people had gone home, even more obviously because it's the end of the Monday, and I walked back from the Bardic fire pit to my tent. There was a couple of people wandering around the place whistling. But by and large, I think I was one of the last four or five awake. And as I say, I really don't stay awake all night. And this time round, I didn't even notice it happening. And it not only happened without any artificial stimulation, just for good company. I was also subjecting myself to beer really all night, because as well as drinking loads of beer, they had 40 different sorts of beer behind that bar. And I reckon in the duration, I probably tried every single one. And enjoyed them all. Didn't have the same pint twice. Absolutely great. So, at the very end of the show, I'm going to play 3 minutes of the Dawn Chorus, because there's a big, big patch of woodland on this land. And so the last 3 minutes of the show are going to be me retiring to my bed. And it's going to be the sound of all the birds that I passed as I went from this fire pit that's shown here back to my tent in the crew field. But between now and then, we've got some more music to play. We'll talk about it a little bit as we play each tune, but by and large the last half hour or so there's going to be a few more kicking tunes, and I'm pretty sure that there'll be somebody on to entertain you once the doctor has finished with you. So I guess I'd really like to play another John Langan band track, because they are just such amazing instrumentalists. There's none of John's voice on this one. This is an instrumental, and it's called Midgets on Acid, going out to all those midgets everywhere and all those people who know what acid is, because I'm sure when you listen to this you're going to see exactly what he means, even though he don't sing any tunes. So the John Langan Band, Midgets on Acid, from their album Bones of Contention. none of the Dr. Rock special recordings using his voice recorder. Sheila in a gig, I'm sure, would not necessarily approve of their stuff going out at that kind of quality, but we will play the one off the back of the desk when we get it. In the meantime, I hope they won't mind me leaving it in with the podcast, because it's another one of those that really catches the atmosphere of the dance floor by which it was being recorded. We've got one more tune to come from Kidnap Alice, and then I'll be back with you just before the end of the show.
Lay down your burden when you left this world of woe, and I will thank with affection of your time with us below, of your time with us below. A cloudless sky. And memory lingers while the body turns to clay. And that's so we will recognize you on the resurrection day. Resurrection Day. The Father, and hallelujah what you've gained, and free from care, oh Father, and free from earthly pain, oh, free from earthly pain.
Deny the great deceiver and join my family and my friends. That was Kidnap Alice with Resurrection Day. Again, I hope to have a live version of that shortly, because she really belts it out when she's on the stage. As I've said before, she sings like a lady with three lungs. Well, I'd really like to thank all of you that have been out there and chatting with me in the chat box. Like I say, lots of private messaging today. I've really appreciated all of that. Thanks to Media Streaming International Radio for retaining me during all of the big changes, thanks to all the support I get from the people at scotlandisfree.ning.com. Thanks to all the guys who did Fire in the Mountain, all the musicians, all the people that organised it, the key crew, to Anthony for looking after us all so beautifully.